Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to 3i Infotech Limited for Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Thompson Nanam, MD and Global CEO of 3i Infotech. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 3i Infotech Limited Q1 FY23 earnings call. Hope all of you and your loved ones are staying healthy and safe in the era of pandemic and endemic. We continue to build our momentum of business acceleration on our last year's strong foundation we have laid post the carve-out for the new 3i. The quarter was a good progress from our year-end results and in line with our annual growth targets. This year would be a year of building scale, enhancing margins, and accelerating as a challenger. I'm happy to inform you that 3i Infotech has begun the fiscal year with a good set of results in Q1. I'm happy to report that we have shown a year-on-year growth of 12%. As discussed earlier in my call with you all, we have already articulated a vision statement for 2030, and we are in course to achieving $1 billion dream. Quickly on the revenues for Q1, our top line has been 179.1 crores, 76.6 million US dollars, with a gross margin of 11.4%, and an operating PBT of 0.3 crores, which is a very positive for us. I think to start the year with a positive PBT, and it is very essential for the organization to build on this momentum we have set forward. For the benefit of everybody, I thought it would be better in our AOP call and in our year-ending call where we had set some of our priorities. It would be good to refresh your memories as we build this organization, and we have very clearly demarcated the run, grow, and build strategy. In the run, very clearly for this year, restructuring of a global organization, eliminate non-profit engagement the foremost priority, reduce right cost to support of existing businesses, right-skill and reskill the organization, reduce revenue erosions for fortifying account defense, expansion of new lines of businesses, leverage loyal clients as brand and champions of new care. So these are some of the priorities for the run business, just to refresh your memories. For the grow, to enhance your grow on both more focused on account-specific strategies, and also see a very clear micro-segmented go-to-market as well, and a special focus on SMB and mid-market. Sales cost efficiency will be a very important focus in this year in terms of, you know, redeployment of our sales investments within the volume and the value business. The value is where we want to commercialize and generate revenue for our build investments we made last year and which we continue to do this year. New Ray 3i Plus cloud-powered services will be our arrowhead, and various other new ways, the last team, the digital keypad, BPAS, will run on our new Ray Plus. And Malaysia is our first launch, which is on course, and also we will follow it up in the US, UK, and SMB segment, mid-market in these geographies. And for the build, we spoke about, you know, very clearly, this year is an important year where we have to start having a revenue plan for the build investments we made last year. And we continue to also invest, build cognitive computing services platforms, launch our telco offerings, 5G ladder as a service, Oracle GE, and so on and so forth. These are some of the priorities which we kind of, you know, set for ourselves for this financial year. Quickly, I'll touch upon the, you know, macro impact, economic impact, 90 spending. So, of course, because more than 50% of revenue comes from the U.S. market. And the U.S. market has the highest inflation now in almost four decades high. Borrowing costs are surging, costs are being, you know, beaten out. Companies are growing that some of the economic activities in the U.S. into a recession. This essentially means that rationalization and reprioritization of some of the capital. Our fixed expenditures, which are translating to reduced growth for tech industry. Margin protection is going to be the key focus area for the sector during this year. So just on that aspect, you know, trying to come to an outlook, if you look at it, we see an opportunity even in this tough economic scenario to increase the share of wallet as our clients try to optimize the cost and consolidate partners in. So it's quite a challenger like us to push as well to increase the business from, you know, and leverage revenue or move the revenue share from our Taiwan competition. So here I see a reflection of this success for us as we are marching towards our goals. Just so you know, refresh our memories, we had given a guidance and a target of 750 crores and a 15 crores EBITDA margin for this year. And we are on course for that, and we will strive our best to achieve this outlook in spite of these headwinds which we see in the industry. Quickly an update on some of the strategic initiatives based on the priorities we have set for ourselves to have a better focus on the value phase, which is the build business, which is the new line of service we're building. And we have carved out a new independent P&L unit, which will be run by a senior leader, Sak Krishna, who will run this as an independent P&L. The objective is to drive these investments to monetization, drive better margins, incubate and scale the various present entrepreneurship which we are building. And this will work very closely with our business units which are aligned to the geography in the new CI, which is the India business region, the global business region. As the geography is focused on the volume targets, the value business led by SACS will drive a higher margin and transformation business and monetize some of the, you know, building investments we have made. So quickly on some of the key highlights, we have launched a Center of Excellence at IIT Research Park, Chennai, where we're launching cognitive computing as a service. And our 5G lab is being set up there, and where we are building our own IP in terms of, you know, 5G lab as a service. We recently launched the Oracle COE in Tinnevelli Murray Park, where we have got 100 engineers who are being trained in Oracle, this is also in line with our Oracle strategy. Finally, also on our voice of customer, the way I look at it, you know, key customers, we are kind of busy in Q1 meeting some of our key customers in US and other geographies, trying to validate our strategy. And the good news is that it's been well received, and the validation of a business strategy is very, very strong. The rebranding and repositioning of the new 3i is now underway. We have also been able to kind of generate our LC pipeline of some of the new lines of service in the build business of almost $5 to $7 million US opportunities, which are involved in Q1, which are in cybersecurity operations, in cognitive computing services, and some of the, you know, next generation cloud-based, cloud-first, digital-first, cognitive-enabled, automation-led services, which we are trying to take to the market. Finally, I would like to reassure you all that your management team is working to convert these headwinds and global environment into an opportunity for new CI, build a strong order book of 100 crores of high-value business, and deliver the outlook guidance which we have come to. Thank you. I would like to end my commentary out here, and I will request our CFO, Sanjay Rawat, to share the financial highlights.
Thanks, Omkil. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to start with giving the key highlights of our financial performance at a consolidated level. We achieved a revenue of 179.2 crores for the quarter, vis-a-vis the last quarter of 175.6, which represents a 2% quarter-on-quarter growth. In comparison to the year-on-year number, year-on-year we had a revenue of 159.9 crores, with a growth of 12% year-on-year. Moving on to our cost lines, I just want to give a highlight of employee benefit expense, which is margin moved up by about 2 crores, primarily due to the increments that we had effective from this quarter, mid of this quarter, I would say that. Our cost of other third-party products and services have gone up, primarily due to 2 reasons. One is we had seen a significant increase in our U.S. subcon cost due to certain acquisitions that we had in the U.S., which had to backfill through the subcon mode, and in Saudi Arabia as well. So this is primarily related to the revenue growth, and we see that dropping down and the employee numbers coming up going forward. Other expenses primarily have gone up due to, you know, increase in travel costs and insurance due to, you know, increase in the revenue and our operation now, since due to post-COVID, we had to do, you know, get into the field, and the travel expenses going up. This quarter, we have adopted the SCTR gain for our U.S. Operations. U.S. operations effective from 1st of April have become non-integral, and due to that, we have adopted the foreign exchange to be moved to OCI, and related to that, there is a gain which we have recorded in our books to the tune of 11.6 crores. It translates into a PBT, you know, of about 31 lakhs, and that's on the P&L part. I'd like to give some highlights of the balance sheet, though we are not covering that. But our net cash for the quarter has been 48 crores. We have net cash as of 30 June of 48 crores. Our DSO is at 99 days. It has moved up by 5 days. But we see that as a temporary increase in our DSO by 5 days. This was primarily due to certain government customers, sign-off being pending and the delay in collection. But that, we expect that to get recovered in quarter 2. CapEx for the quarter has been around 6.8 crores. And our overall foreign exchange average rate for the US dollar has been 78.8, which we recorded as of for the quarter as of June 30th. So this is what I wanted to give from a financial highlight point of view. Happy to take on any other questions during our interactive session. Thank you. I'd like to hand it over to Harish for his views.
Good evening, everybody. Harish Sinha here. So I'll give you a quick overview of the operations that we had in Q1 and our way forward on that. So I think as we have got into this new year with the new vigor and the strong base that was set by our organization for the last year's numbers, we've been working effectively on reducing our costs and improving utilization of the organization. So as Thompson mentioned, we had to restructure the organization to make it more effective and split our units into India business region and the global business regions. Build or the product development being called out separately so that it becomes more efficient and effective for us, more in terms of an IP creation as well as revenue generation from that per se. When we come to operations, thing we have trying to bridge the gap that's getting created due to the attrition era that we have gone through in the last year. So as corrective actions or plans that we had in the last quarter, we've already set up the Tirunelveli Center of Excellence, where we are getting 100 engineers to be trained on industry or vertical specific skills who can be deployed from the third month onwards, and they will start generating revenue for us. In addition to that, we have also started taking in trainees at various locations other than that locations also, who will start working as shadow resources on projects, and they also will quickly pick up on operations in a quarter or so. So around 50 resources to 100 resources is what we are planning every quarter and getting them into billable resources in the next quarter onwards. In terms of the spans and layers optimization, we are constantly churning out and evaluating each and every lines of businesses and identifying any less, I would say, excess resources sitting there and ensuring that like the teams become lean and mean as we are developing the processes. So we also are getting into capability enhancements by entering the strategic deals, wherein the entire revenue focus is also to ensure that we have a revenue mix change in the organization rather than continuing with the traditional lines of businesses that we have been working on. Some good news on our US geography operations is that we had around 450 H-1B registrations. So we had one round of lottery already done, which is like we got 50 of our applications selected. There is a second round of lottery, which is expected to be coming up in the early in the month of August. I think mid-August or towards the end of August, we are having a second round of lottery, where we are expecting some more shortlists to be done there. So we, in the next quarter or so, we should be having more headcounts in US being exported from India, who will boost up our revenue at lower cost. And in Malaysia, as we talk, we will be having our indigenous sovereign cloud being set up, and it should be launched along with Oracle and the Malaysian government supporting us on those initiatives. So in addition to the business operations, we are also effectively focusing on the general admin sales cost of for the organization. We have launched specific various initiatives in the organization, and the success rate for the Q1 is we have been able to identify annualized saves of almost around 10 crore already, and we continue to pick up lines where we might be able to optimize on cost in the general sales and GA costs of the organization. So by and large, as our business teams are focusing to get in more revenue quarter on quarter, internally from an operations perspective, we're trying to make it lean and mean and trying to be making it more profitable as we go. And as I said, there are specific initiatives being taken. And as we say, when we are trying to make it lean and mean, we are also ensuring that we are getting in very key resources who will be very effective in bolstering this organization. So we have had global delivery head for telecom running the last quarter, who's going to strengthen our telecom delivery. We have, traditionally we had the remote infrastructure management or the infrastructure management services being run out of the organization. We have a digital infrastructure management head who joined us last month. We have a couple of key recruitment done last year on the human capital management also, both locally as well as globally. So I think we are relooking at the organization after a completion of 1 year's business, and we have taken some corrective actions as to how it should be structured and what are the key blocks that needs to be filled or replaced after evaluating our operations. And that's what we have done in the Q1 and taken definitive steps towards achieving the bottom line also. So that's like to summarize overall what we have achieved in Q1 and also setting the tone for the quarter ahead. So that's all from my side. Back to Thompson.
Yes, thanks, Sanjay and Harish. Maybe we can open up the floor for questions.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddharth Gupta from Voyager Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I am Siddharth from Voyager Capital. I must begin by saying that I am not as a personal investor as well as a entity, we're not very impressed with the results that have been put forward. Particularly, my question is directed towards the fact that as a consolidated entity, we posted a loss, wherein while detailed during the conference call, it was detailed that we carried out capex and increment. So can the management elaborate as to the reasons why we could not come in the black for the consolidated entity? We are in profit for a standalone entity. Secondly, I wish to know if there have been any major new orders that have been won by the company in the preceding quarter, apart from the ones that have been publicly announced as of now.
Yeah, so hi, thanks for that, Thompson. I'll take that question. So, with regard to the, if you ask me from a, at an EBITDA level, consolidated, yes, of course, there is a gap, because there were, a few, overflow, costs and expenses which hit us. But the good news is that, we've got the kind of, operating, rhythm in place, and, we will be able to kind of, deliver the, profitability even without the foreign exchange gains if you make, and that we can assure you that quarter on quarter we'll be able to do that, because as Harish explained also, we are also working on multiple areas to eliminate costs in parallel, which these actions have been taken in Q1. And the results of that, you would see it in Q2 for sure. That's on the first question which you spoke about, Siddharth. The second question is on a lot of new orders. The good news is that, as I said even in my commentary, Q1 has been good because we were focusing heavily on our existing accounts. And especially in the U.S., because most of our new lines of business have been ready and we've been taking to market. It's been very encouraging in the U.S., especially on cloud transformation areas within our own existing customers. We have been able to kind of, secure intention to expand our businesses, which I spoke about as well. As I'm speaking to you, even on our top 2-3 customers in the U.S., we have secure additional funnel of businesses which are which will really help us to get a high margin revenues in the quarters to come. And also there are a lot of new logos here we have signed up, but these logos have huge potential because almost close to 8 new logos we have signed up in the month of quarter one. Each of the new logos have a potential to easily scale up to $1 million. Right now, the contracts might be small contracts like 2K, 300K, or 400K, but each of them can be $1 million account by themselves.
Okay, and I just had a quick follow-up about the DSO days. It was mentioned that our DSO days have gone up. Could there be a bit more elaboration on that? Lastly, is this a working capital debt that's coming on, or is it a long-term debt that the company is carrying?
That DSO primary is on account of, delays by certain government customers in India for, collection. Apart from that, we are on track in terms of our target for the DSO.
Okay. Okay, so I'm fair to assume that there is no new long-term debt that came into play. It's just the receivables.
Yeah, it's just receivable. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no long-term debt for us. And in fact, we've been managing our cash flows and we've been paying our employees on the last working day, even with all these challenges and everything, because of our technical connections.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Bajaj, Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the opportunity. I think you mentioned in your introductory remark regarding this foreign exchange profit that is there on the P&L. Could not understand the whole comment, so maybe you can provide more details on what are the changes that has been done which is led to this profit.
What I will do, Sanjay, you can come in, but I'll quickly set a context from a strategy perspective, and then Sanjay, you can explain it. See, what we have done is, the old 3i was a product-led company, which was very India-centric kind of operating model. And now as a new 3i, we are now evolving into a more geo-specific, geo-panel-led organization in line with the other industry peers and services organizations. And that's the key change. So effective April 1st, what we have done is, we have now set these targets very clearly from a geo-panel perspective, where independent geos are a full-fledged subsidiary, and which work independently, especially US, which is our big geography. And with regard to that, these changes have happened. So, and you know, Sanjay, maybe you want to expand this, Omar.
Yeah, just I want to add on to what Thompson said. Since this is primarily for the US, only for the US entity, our US entity being a subsidiary and effective from 1st of April, it has become more non-integral. When I say non-integral, it's not integral to the operations of India. So whatever gain loss that we get on translation as per Ind AS, it has to be moved through OCI to a reserve called Foreign Currency Translation Reserve, which is in the fiscal reserve. So that's how we have that moved out, and that's the reason that primarily the gain has happened in India. In consolidation.
So it has come into P&L 11 crores. So you are saying the translation till date, whatever was the gain till date, it has come into P&L. And then going forward,
it's for the quarter. See, what happens is when there is all the intercompany outstanding, all our balances, overseas balances are intercompany balances, primarily, you know, which gets into a foreign exchange translation. And at an India level, whatever you get a foreign exchange, at a consolidated level, it gets eliminated because ultimately all the receivables and payables in terms of foreign exchange gain loss has to get nullified. But that is an integral operation. So if US had a non-integral operation, that was primarily the reason, which for that reason it had to be taken to a foreign exchange translation reserve. And hence we have in the consolidated results the gain of 11 crores. This is primarily the India gain reflecting on that account.
Sorry to ponder on this, but so on a consolidated financial statement, I see foreign exchange gain of 12.8 crores in the P&L, right? And your notes to account says that for this particular reason, the impact was 11.64 crores.
Correct.
Right? And this is coming into P&L.
Yeah, because it's a loss. See, what happens is the US entity records a loss on translation, and that loss gets moved to the foreign currency translation reserve in the balance sheet.
Yeah, but if it is coming through OCI in balance sheet, then it should not be coming into P&L is what my question is. So it is coming into P&L.
Till the last year, it was an integral operation. In the current year, whatever gain loss, the loss is there. The loss gets recorded under the balance sheet as reserve. So the India part of gain, which is generally eliminated because of this loss, this will get reflected as part of it on the same transaction. You know, what we can do is, if you need, we can have a separate call and you know, we can discuss that.
Right, that would be better. I think that's it from my side for now. I will just come back in the question queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Seth from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. So just wanted to understand our vision for the edge computing business and what strategies are we implementing to drive this particular business. Second one was on basically NURE business. So if you could throw some light on this particular segment and, you know, our plans here, what is the commercial model and how do we plan to expand this? So these are the broad two questions from our side.
So Harsh, can you just repeat the second question? The first question about this two edge computing. The second one is?
On NURE business.
NURE.
NURE, thanks. Yeah.
Oh, NURE, okay, got it. NURE, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So there are two parts. One is the NURE is our cloud first business, which is kind of the foundation for all our other businesses, whether it is digital first or automation or even cognitive system, Neuray line of services. Neuray 3i Plus is our Oracle OCI cloud service led by Oracle Plus, where we are now building our own sovereign cloud. We are building our own cloud in a box services, which we are doing, and we have been successful in getting some few deals using these frameworks and methodologies as well. We've also been, you know, having these startups and resident entrepreneurs who bring in the secret sauce for us in terms of hyperscalers and in terms of, you know, optimization engines which we are bringing into the Neuray as well. Even the Neuray 3i, which is non-Oracle, which is on, you know, Azure or Amazon bare metal, we've been able to kind of, you know, demonstrate workload optimization and cost optimization to the tune of around 30% to 40%. In fact, one of the deals we closed in APAC, we have been able to give a saving of 25% to a customer and still we make 25% gross margin. So the, your point on the strategy, Harsh, is that we are focusing more on TCO optimization, especially in the cloud and the digital infrastructure management space, where we take over the TCO and then commit a kind of a game or a game share over a period of time. That is one. And your first question on edge computing, for example, we have now you know, set up this IIT research park where we've got our community computing and future tech business being incubated. And we are now working on our 5G lab as a service. And the whole, from an edge computing perspective, right from edge cloud to edge application development to edge security to edge analytics is what we are focusing on. Our first product called Edge, Neuray Edge, is already launched. It's a SaaS product built on Oracle Cloud, and it's our own IP, where which is we already started getting a lot of customers. In fact, using Neuray Edge is not just SaaS; it could be a one-stop shop for multiple security platforms and applications. And in fact, as we speak, we are running advanced POCs with our existing customers to see if they can replace multiple tools, applications with a single platform of Neuray Edge and offer almost 25 to 30% cost savings for our customers for cyber security operations.
Mr. C, do you have any further questions? Thank you. We'll move to the next question. Before that, I would like to announce, participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Rahul Patulwar from Oak North. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I have just one question. Given the high level of attrition that we are seeing in IT sector, how are you tackling this problem? Like, How are you controlling the employee cost inflation?
So this is actually, Rahul, this is an industry problem. If you look at our Q1 numbers, also employee costs have gone up because obviously it is costing us more to do business even in India. So very clearly what we are looking at is also de-risking ourselves by investing in Tier 3 cities. And this Neuray Park Oracle COE in Silicon Valley is one such initiatives we have taken, where we are now building this pool of engineers who will be trained and aligned to industry specializations, especially in the Oracle COE. It's an effort in that direction. Second, we are also now increasingly focusing on investing these COEs onshore as well, because more and more the things are getting more tighter, if you look at it, you know, there's also a need for more onshore presence, and the margins can be enhanced by more humanoid and cognitive enablement in onshore. In fact, we are redoing our US offices to be able to deliver more onshore delivery. Similarly, in Malaysia, UK, Middle East is what we are doing right now, because that's an opportunity for us to kind of de-risk our dependency on extremely heated up Indian environment right now.
Okay. Got it. Thanks, sir. That was very useful.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Joshi from SGS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So can you please elaborate when can we expect to be profitable? Because EPS, traditionally has been, even after restructuring, is showing negative figures. Even though this loss is reducing, however, we are far away from the net profitability. So when can we see that we can see a good amount of healthy profit and EPS starts growing in multiple? Should it happen in the next quarter? Can we expect that will be a net positive by, say, end of quarter two?
See, Mr. Kapil, as I said, this has been, for most of you all who've been invested with us for a long time, it might look like a continuum, but for us, the last year was a very important inflection point once we sold off the product vision and we are now building this new organization. To your point, we already committed that this year, as an outlook, we said we will deliver profitable results in the start of the year. We are targeting some 60 crores and 15 crores profits and PBT. And we are very, very hopeful that we'll be able to do it because we've got all the levers in place. We've kind of reduced all the variations and surprises we had last year post the carve-out. And so the rhythm is building in terms of operation efficiency and excellence as well. And the revenue change mix also is now happening. And to your question, we'll be definitely able to build a very, very profitable ongoing organization and definitely will exist this year with profits.
Great. Can I ask one more?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sir, attrition is something which is hurting most of the IT companies. So I believe 3i also will not be an exception. So that is something which is causing a huge dent to all IT companies. So every company has its own style of working. So I believe you must be also working on the same, best possible way to minimize attrition, which is a big concern nowadays.
Sir, absolutely, Mr. Kapil. I think I did answer that in the previous question the other gentleman asked. So what we are doing is de-risking ourselves from the tier one, tier two focus cities to tier three cities. The Senegal Mirror Park is a step in that direction, as I said. So 100 engineers are being trained, where we have almost no attrition because now we are creating jobs for this. And similarly, we are going to create other hubs in West, North and East in India. Second, we are also building the similar tier two in the geographies in US, UK, Middle East and APAC as well. Because with more digital and cognitive and automation, we'll be able to deliver very good margins even with onshore presence.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay K, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Thompson, in last quarter, in 6 to 9 months, you had multiple meetings with international investors and even Portugal's meeting details as well. Have you seen now any interest from institutional investors or anchor investors investing in TI after so many meetings? And one more question. Go ahead. You have a last question later.
Sir, of course, because we have been constantly communicating our strategy and with the new 3i to all potential investors. There is a renewed interest and we are working very closely. And I'm sure as we are able to bring this more predictable business and we are able to generate predictable revenues and profits in the coming quarters, these interests would convert into more long-term partnership or investment relationships.
About the large deals or big deals, we had this announcement of Bamboo Rose about 6 months back. And then since then, not much of this, we have seen much activity on big deals. So how the pipeline for big deal looks like and any traction or are you seeing the big deals will come? In one of the call, I think in maybe last quarter call or some call, you mentioned about some 60 crore deal what you are working on. So what's the status on that?
Well, there are two parts. In fact, fingers crossed for, and you know how some of the Indian deals are, you know, from large deals and especially PSUs and government, you know, it takes time and, you know, especially even if after L1, the L2 processes is there. So we have high probability of winning some of these very large deals in Indian PSUs, which are focused on infrastructure management services space. Hopefully we should be able to come with the good news shortly. At least in my mind, around two or three deals are cooking. In the global space, what we have done is we have started focusing on some of the existing accounts where we are now sitting in with all the investments we have made in all these new technologies and new services. We are now trying to figure out and shape large deals. I think some of our key accounts, please wait for some announcements to come in where we are hoping to close something in cybersecurity operations. It's a reasonably large deal. And second, also in cloud transformation for some of our existing customers, so which will be again a very large deal because the spend could be almost close to $10 million or $15 million over 3 years, which is the entire cloud transformation. So these type of engagements is where we are very confident. That's why I said this year we want to take an order book target of around 100 to 150 crores for some of these next generation deals, which will give us higher profits. Especially like, you know, Bamboo Rose, for your information, like as you reminded, today we are already on course. In fact, the monthly run rate is increasing on a daily, on a monthly basis, and these are very highly profitable deals for the organization.
Oh, that's great. One more question about recently, I mean, Tria Infotech invested into MGM, a US-based company, and even various COEs what you are investing into. Even last week's announcement of partnership with CoreStack. So just my question is, when do you see the investment contributing to business? Are you seeing already you're getting deals from this kind of investment?
So there are two parts. One is, you know, I think that's where in my commentary also I spoke about the organization structure change. So last year we invested in all this new day in XTM because XTM is our core technology for our 5G lab as a service. Our New Day Edge platform runs on XTM core technology. So all these are now starting to bear fruit, what we invested last year. And that's why we've brought in a new structure this year. In fact, SAC is taking up this role of, you know, driving a go-to-market and a P&L for all the investments we're making through these build initiatives, what we call, and own a kind of annual operating plan itself for this year. So that's what we call the value business. And we have a separate annual operating plan. In fact, what we committed as 760 crores revenue is our current kinds of businesses, whichever pipe which we have right now. But definitely the value business, we are hoping for 100 crores of order book. And we'll have to hope and see how much of that we can convert as revenue for this year also. So that fight is building on all these lines of businesses. And this organization change, presently also will come, which will also kind of highlight the changes we are making for the company to ensure that all these investments bear fruit very quickly for all of us.
Oh, yeah, sure. And my last question is about the Q1 results. Does it include, I mean, have you given annual increment to employees in the Q1 or you are going to give increments in Q2?
No, Q1, if you see the employee costs have gone up because we are doing the increments on employees and obviously because so that is also increasing. But we also done other levers, as I said, to ensure that we run our cost back. Variable pay will pay out in Q2.
Okay. Thank you,
Dr. Anishu. You all the best.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Raju Perinjali, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tanshan and the team. Good afternoon.
Hi, Raju. Good afternoon.
I just want to understand the one thing. The profit reported this quarter without foreign exchange gain, we have got a loss of 11.2 crores. Compared to last quarter, this is a big variance. And secondly, Can you please give us an estimate of your revenue for the quarter, next quarter? I'm not asking about the profit, but what do you think would be your revenue for the Q2 2023?
Yeah. So, Sanjay, you want to take the first part of the question, and I'll answer the revenue part.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, the variance primarily, lies into our, we had some exceptional costs on employees living in the US, wherein we had to patch in with the subcon arrangement locally. That is one of the primary reasons that we had a low margin. But, going forward, we think that, with our resources getting in the U.S. Back, and that's what we are working, and we already have lined up people getting back, our margin should go back into, a level, or I'd say improvement the margins in the coming quarters. That was the primary reason to answer your question.
I just have need some more clarification on this. It is a loss of 11.2 or 11.3 crores. So can you just give me five major cost elements contributed to this? Other than you just give me some graphical reasoning, more articulated response, but just give me the numbers, the main heads where the cost has escalated, thereby the 11.2. Compared to last quarter has happened.
Yeah, you can say, our subcon cost, which is under the heading of cost of third party, that has gone up by about 7 crores, that is one. Our travel expenses have gone by about 1.4 crores, that is about 8.5. So these are, and our insurance covering our, indemnity insurance by about a crore. So these are the primary elements which comes to about 10 crores. And over and above that, the increment of two crores. So that quote sums up to 12 crores. That's one of the reasons that, adds back into a positive result if you add all this.
But in that case, is that going to recur in the next quarter? Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Can you repeat that,
Sandy? Is that element of cost escalation going to repeat in the next quarter?
Like I said, some of the balancing which we are doing is that, we are also in parallel taking some optimization decisions in Q1, which will start balancing some of these. For example, the cost of workforce increase will be balanced and netted off against that. That is one strategy. Second, because of these green cards and, attritions in the U.S., which was an impact for us, which we are now replacing with our own resources, which will eliminate this third-party cost for us. So that is the second thing to your point. On an operating level, we are now, without these exceptions and surprises, we are getting into a more, a rhythm of profitability. Removing these two, I think, we will be back. And then the second question is our revenues are increasing and they are going to draw contribute. So definitely we are looking at least upside of, 185 to 190 is where we are looking at for Q2.
Also, our concern here is that, we being a long-term investor in this country and we're waiting for 2 years now, and we thought things will be rosy. But now there are more and more challenges that are coming in front of us. We want to get sort of a comfort from the management. This is one of the points I raised in my last participation. Height award is a question. Now, if you could...
See, some of this, say, for example, this green card issue, which has impacted all industries. So, see, for example, when we closed our Q4, we never had these sudden green cards, which was bowed out to people. And once we know how it happens in the US, once green cards are done, employees are free to move on from our visas and impact 6,000 to 15 days. So, but I think to your point, we are now mitigating it proactively, and we have a different pipe. Harish spoke about it. You know, we are now almost getting 100 people up, and you know, proactively. That's going to give us an upside, and also deal with some of these impacts we might have. That is one. But otherwise, if you look at it, last year we had surprises because of deal or fall through or carve-out or something like that, and PDD. We have done all the cleanup. Last year was a year of cleaning up. We have done that. So you will not have any more surprises in those aspects in the class. So now we are more cleaner, more predictable. Now we have to get our basics right, and it will start delivering us.
And the other, okay, sorry, I got one more question. What's the reason you all of a sudden decided to change your functional currency in the US dollars? Because I still believe that majority of your revenue comes from India and Indian rupees. So why don't you stay back in Indian rupees rather than changing the currency? You know, that concerns me. All these guys of changing the functional currency was to some sort of window dress the laws and show some profit before taxes. That's the key all of a sudden I get. Unless you have any very concrete...
No. Sadia, like for example, I gave you the reason why we did this. This is not reason. If you look at it, you know, 3i was a product-centric, India-centric organization before the carve-out happened and the products were sold off. Okay. What we are left is a services organization which was not even on par with any other peers in services. Now, what we have done is, in this 1 year, we have now built a services organization which has to be on par and in line with the industry. Second, our biggest geography is U.S. geography, which is almost 55% of our revenue. And that is what Sanjay explained of, you know, how to keep this as a true P&L organization and non-integrating to the Indian organization. So that's the key change we have made in line with other peers also. So it's a strategic change, you know, the way we look at it. It is not a transactional way of looking at it, you know, like what you said.
Thousand, I appreciate that, and I hope you will not change it back into rupees in the next quarter. Just one more suggestion. Since this company is now mostly owned by the retailers and few banks, can you please publish a full-fledged quarterly report in line with the IFRS or GAAP standards, rather than following the SEBI regulation? Is there anything stopping you in doing that?
Not here. What that question was. See, we are publishing report as required by SEBI, which is in line with the IFRS, the India's requirement.
No. Let me explain to you that here, okay? What you are publishing is a one-page P&L statement with some notes and an audit case report. If you go back to your forum, there is a requirement of a quarterly report, how to be explained, initial balance sheet, condensed balance sheet, financial, with all the notes. If you could do, since you said you already changed into US dollar as a currency, why don't you consider coming up with the detailed quarterly financials in line with the IFRS, which will add so much of credibility to your numbers and acceptance. And since there are no single order here, I'm sure that most of the retailers would be very happy to accept such a statement from you.
So we are in alignment to the SEBI regulations and the reporting requirement that as is required by the Companies Act as well as the SEBI requirement. And what we will do is for September anyway we are going to publish the balance sheet as well. So it will be a detailed one which will cover for both consolidated as well as the standalone results.
Thank you. Sadhu, we request you to please email your questions if you have any further questions. We will now move to the next question, which is now from the line of Kapil Joshi from SCS. Please go ahead. Kapil Joshi, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
My question is about employee stock options. This is something which, you know, dilutes the equity. So, I mean, it has been going in earlier as well. So, are we going to plan that as well? Employee stock options. It does the stock dilution. Can we avoid this?
Can you, is it about shares getting allocated that you are referring to?
see, for example, company has a set of 700 crores of shares. Now, few of the shares are given to employees. So now that you are giving 1 crore shares extra, so that my EPS, whatever is EPS, that goes further down when new stocks are added.
No, I think what is being shown as allocated are stock options which have been granted to employees over the last 4 or 5 years. So they are only exercising and vesting their options. So other than that, there are huge numbers which have been given to the employee stock exchange, and these are no new schemes floated which is getting diluted right now. That's point number one. I think that's what you are referring to. Having said that, just to answer your question, no new shares have been allocated in substantial quantity in the last few quarters. So whatever scheme was floated and carved out for the employees is what is being given out of. So that's one thing. Having said that, 3i Infotech, having the brand image, whatever it has over the years, and in the era of attrition, we will need to have some schemes to attract employees, people from lateral hires in the organization to strengthen our capabilities. So it might not be in huge volumes, but we will, as an organization, we might need to have certain schemes by which we can, otherwise it will have to be compensated with huge salary packages. So instead of being cash out on as an organization, I think that would be a better way to compensate. So there is stickiness or retention by the employees with the organization over the next 3 to 5 years. And like company's P&L also is not hit by that. So we are taking a very measured view, and we've not allotted huge amount of shares which will reduce or dilute the shareholders' equity taxes. That's what I would want to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that was the last question. I will now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thanks. So, thanks a lot, and these are all very valuable questions and insights. I'd like to thank all our shareholders and investors, and thank you for your patience with the new CEO and the new management team. Need your continuous support, and we will keep building on this momentum. And also, we will also try to we have some questions on trying to see how we can communicate more transparently and effectively. I think there was a question from Shaji. We will take those inputs because our endeavor is to build a world-class organization because this is run by professional entrepreneurs, and we will bring those best practices to ensure that we build our confidence and support with all of you. Thank you all, once again. Talk to you all soon.
Thank you very much. On behalf of 3i Infotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.